Last of the words of Jesus are, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And as the Lord is progressing through the day, the stuff that he says from the cross, all of it sort of flows into the rest. What I mean is, he says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. These men are killing me. They don't quite understand what they're doing, but they're accomplishing your work. Today you shall be with me in paradise to the repentant thief. But then it gets on a track, right? Woman, behold your son. My last thing, Mary, this John will take care of you. And then, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. They give him the wine. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then Jesus, Scripture says, breathe his last. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. One of the great blessings of priesthood is that you get to go to a lot of places that ordinarily you shouldn't be able to go. And I don't mean, although this is also included, but not primarily so, the time I was in the papal household, or the time I was in the sacristy in the Cathedral of Baltimore and got to see the relics of ancient saints. I don't mean those things. I mean really ordinary things. That I get to sit in the confessional and hear you tell me your most deep and secret thoughts. Or that I am invited into some of the most intimate moments of people's lives. Their wedding day. The baptism of their children. And the day that their loved ones die. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. My God, I trust you. Now here's a model for a person who has prepared himself to die. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what's recognized and anticipated by participated in by the altar of repose we have at the end of the Holy Thursday Mass. In that garden, he begins to feel the anxiety of the coming day. So much so, he's so anxious that the blood vessels in his body begin to burst and he sweats blood. And he says, Father, if this chalice could pass from me, let it be. But not my will, but yours be done. He's saying, God, I don't want to do this. It's going to hurt. God, I don't want to do this. I feel like it's almost too painful. But not your will, not my will, but yours be done. Man, we say that all the time. Lord, not your will, but my will be done. That's us. Jesus to the Messiah, to the Messiah to the Lord. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Father, into my hands, your hands I commend my spirit. There is so much of preparing for death that we do not do. We live our lives as if we're always going to live forever and things are always going to be this way. And it's just not. It's not the case. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. There are three steps in my practice of the anointing of the sick. So if you ever call me, you're going to see one of these three things happen, right? My loved one is ill, and we want you to say some prayers. Okay, you're getting the anointing of the sick. Father, it's not good. You're getting the traditional last rites. If you say those words or a version of it, I take it as you're telling me this person is dying, but it's not imminent. That means I will give you, as if they'll allow me, I will try and do confession, anointing, and then the Eucharist is viaticum, meaning food for the journey. It's a preparation for dying. This is not in my mind what the church intends for somebody who is imminently dying. But for somebody who now knows, that's the road I'm on. And it's probably not going to be anything else. Okay. The third step, she's dying. Okay. We're doing the prayers for the dying. I do the anointing of the sick because it provides, especially for people in the hospital, they're often unconscious, being supported by machines. The anointing of the sick at that phase has the power to forgive sins. And so it is worthwhile to celebrate that with that person. But more importantly, I will offer the prayers for the dying. It's really simple. We read from the book of Job, we read the 23rd Psalm. There's a little litany, but it ends with words similar to this. Go forth, faithful Christian. Go forth and be with God the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit our Consoler. Go forth, faithful Christian, and today make your home in paradise with Mary, the Mother of God, and all the angels and the saints. Go forth. Brother Josh Rodrig used to always say, it's nice when people listen. Go forth, faithful Christian. It is a less than holy phrase for that occurrence. Which I won't share with you, but it is funny. And the idea is I'm dying. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. God, I trust that whatever happens after this, at the conclusion of my life, whatever happens, you are trustworthy. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Now, of course, for Jesus, you know the popular phrase, I'll rest when I'm dead. You know who didn't get to rest when he died? The Lord. Tradition has it that on Holy Saturday, Jesus was yet still at work, but no longer in the physical world. And this is the time when he had descended into the realm of the dead, preached the gospel to all he found there, and when he resurrected, brought back Adam and Eve and all of their children who wished to follow him. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. You can imagine, he's saying these words and going, finally I get to rest. And yes, from the weariness of the physical world, yes, rest in the sweet embrace of death. But in the spiritual realm, no man. There is still more work to do. You look at the life of Jesus. Not only does the dude get betrayed by everybody he's ever loved, except for Mary Magdalene, all of the apostles abandoned him. Everyone, even St. John. St. John just came back. He's abandoned by everybody. Sold over to the Sanhedrin. Handed over as a just get rid of this guy. From the Sanhedrin to the Romans. For sport, the Romans crucify him to mock and humiliate him. And even then, he doesn't get to rest. In the tomb, okay, go. God the Father says to his Son, go get him out the realm of the dead. That's what you're here for. Go. And then even when he resurrects on Easter Sunday, I'm telling you, on Easter Sunday, I'm taking a nap. You know what Jesus did? He walked with the apostles to Emmaus. I wouldn't have done that. He appears to 300 brothers and sisters so they all might believe. Now, he did eat with the apostles twice. I would do that. I intend to do that with my family, right? And then he doesn't get to leave. He stays and ministers to the apostles and teaches them and gives them the next phase of the mission for 40 days. Some of you recognize this experience. Jesus retired and they didn't let him go. He had to stay on for another month and a half. But then finally, ascension. Lord, you deserve it. Go rest. Of course, this is to over-personify the humanity of Jesus, right? God doesn't run out of energy.
God doesn't run out of strength. God never grows weary or is tired. And that's how Jesus Christ can be alive and at work in all of us. But the whole point of his coming to earth was so that we could be saved, that he could die for us, shed his blood, exchange his life for ours. God could resurrect himself, and then we could get the Holy Spirit. The Lord is at work again in you and I. His Holy Spirit is alive and active in us. You know, our brothers in the Church of the Latter-day Saints, they have a prophet who is supposed to be a direct descendant of the Messiah, of the apostles. We don't need that. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you have the church. You trust you as far as you're willing to trust you, okay? You know how trustworthy you are to you, right? Me, not so much. I don't trust myself very much at all. A little wiggle room. And manage to mess up that little bit of wiggle room all the time. But between me and my senses that have sharpened over time through fidelity to the church and the church, we have access to the Holy Spirit. Trust. This is the great adventure, right? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Y'all, not one of us struggles or is free from the struggle of trust. Whether it's trusting our other brothers and sisters in the human world, or trusting that God actually loves us, or trusting that God's actually got a plan, or trusting that God's actually going to help us, even if this is difficult, even if we really struggle, trust is hard, but it's worthwhile. And just like many things, the hard stuff is the stuff that's important. The hard stuff is the stuff that's worth doing. Yeah, it's hard. It is. No joke. And it doesn't stop being hard just because you started following. But maybe, just maybe, just maybe, you see more and more and more of the Lord fulfilling his promises. I have this one reflection I give sometimes to people in confession when they're really struggling with something difficult, right? And I say, brother, sister, listen to me. What you are experiencing is hard, but no different than the stuff our ancestors dealt with. Us here in South Louisiana, our ancestors dealt with hurricanes. They dealt with the Great Depression. They dealt with changing political forces over the course of all human history. Yeah. None of that stuff is new. And the fight that was in them is in you. Take courage. Our brothers and sisters throughout all of history, they've been through every difficult thing. Everything you're going through right now, there's nothing new under the sun. And our ancestors survived it and thrived and flourished. And you will too. Because Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Let's pray the 12th station. The 12th station, Jesus dies on the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge, soaked it on wine and a sprig of hyssop, and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Lord Jesus,
Let me share with you his pain, whom for all my sins was slain, who for me in torments died.
The 13th station, the body of Jesus is taken down from the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening. And they said, "Truly this was the Son of God." There were many women there looking from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. "Lord Jesus, let me mingle tears with thee, mourning him who mourned for me all the days that I might live. The 14th station, Jesus is laid in the tomb. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in a clean linen and laid it in the new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a huge stone across the entrance of the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. Lord Jesus, in your burial. By the cross with you to stay, there with you to weep and pray, is all I ask.